Our next case is number 05-1270, Moss against Ameritech Services. Mr. Yocum, if you would be more comfortable arguing in the chair, the podium does.
I can use the podium.
Well, the podium will go down to a chair level two if you prefer.
Well, that will help.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll ask our deputy clerk to arrange things for you.
May it please the court, your honors. My name is Joe Yocum, and I'm here to represent plaintiff Belinda Moss, the appellant. The case is here on the basis of the fact that the district court granted a motion for summary
please
judgment.
Please feel free to be seated if you like, sir.
Oh. Our argument centers in the main on the fact that in order to find summary judgment at the trial court level, the trial court made a series of inferences in favor of, changed names again, that it was Ameritech Services, Inc. initially. And the problem we have is that there is a pattern of conduct. It's most unusual in this day and age. A pattern of conduct that would indicate to a trier of fact that there was a really sort of, I know this sounds self-righteous, a horrendous assertion of hostility to people occupying this plaintiff's position, Belinda Moss, that she was a person over 50, that she was a woman, that she was a member of a minority, that she was a black Afro-American. And the reason we say this is what the record shows and what they show, what the defendant shows in its own appendix, which are the following 13 things. One, that she wore improper clothing. When a person in the chain of command with the company said there was nothing wrong with that, and she made a complaint about it, and nothing ever happened. When she first came to work there, she's the sole black supervisor here. And that's another invidious comparison type thing that's possible because of it. She was the only person treated like this. She first came there, and she was subject to some pretty harsh criticism. Then she ran into a problem with a method of keeping track of cases. And she was told the information had disappeared, but with reference to another person, it had not disappeared. She filed an EEO complaint within the company, and no action was ever taken about it. The most horrendous thing, and I realize this may sound kind of precious, but it's the truth. She goes to a supervisor's meeting. Not too long after she comes there, and everyone is given an opportunity to draw a card to receive a gift. She's not given that opportunity. What she's given is a doll that is an ethnic black doll. the only person there who ever received anything like that. Then the other people at the meeting were given specific job classification assignments, and she wasn't given one. She came there to take a specific job, and that specific job was given to a white female employee. She was transferred 6 times during her period of employment. She had attendance methods applied to her that were not applied to other supervisors. Other supervisors and other people at the company were allowed payment for seeking other jobs. She got sick, went to the hospital, they sent somebody out there. It's almost a National Labor Relations Board case. They sent somebody there for purposes of surveillance to see that she was actually in the hospital. She was replaced by a younger white male employee. She complained about the fact that the company had not posted notices of civil rights required by federal law, and they hadn't posted them. And they never posted them, even though she made a complaint. The thing that is so unusual is that this is not a case where somebody made sly remarks. This is not a case where somebody said something about where they lived or something like that. This is all relates to work. These are things that happened at work to this employee, not, oh, maybe even some snide remarks or anything like that. As she said, and very ably in her deposition, when she was asked questions about, well, did anybody say anything about your race or your sex or anything, she said no. And then she said the thing that I think I'll always remember. She said that you don't have to say those kind of things for someone to know what they're up to. And the interesting thing is, for example, another example is, after the fact, the employer, the old after the fact thing, also a National Labor Relations Board thing, she was given her lack of experience and her job performance as a thing. When there is a last evaluation of her services in the record, and it's also attached to our, as an exhibit to our brief, in which she's almost given the most extremely laudatory job evaluation that one can imagine. She performed admirably in every area that she was given the assignment to improve. In fact, it's a laudatory thing that starts out at page 44 of our appendix and goes through for 43 of our appendix. It's a achievement and development rating of her that is made not terribly long after she was discharged. The point I'm trying to make and the point that we're trying to make here is that this is a case that, well, for want of a better term, would have appeared many years ago. We might not have thought of anything out of it before I started this in 1963. But this is just a thing that should not have happened, in the sense that any jury that hears these things and takes a look at that black doll is going to know what they were up to here. And they were up, she was the sole black supervisor in a place in southern Indiana, and they were going to get rid of her. And they were going to get rid of her because she was a black supervisor, and they didn't like it. And if anyone who disputes that, I don't know. That's just not right. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Yoakum.
Yeah, leave him in the chair.
You want to stay in the chair?
Yeah,
I just stay in the chair.
He can be moved to the side. Yeah.
Okay.
Why don't you bring his chair up, wheelchair up to him?
Would it be easier for you to just be at this table here, Mr. Yoakum?
Perhaps you could adjust the podium for Mr. McCauley.
Good morning,
Mr. McCauley.
May it please the court, I'm John McCauley, counsel for Ameritech. Judge Young's decision on summary judgment to dismiss Ms. Moss's claim should be affirmed for a number of independent reasons. It's particularly important in this case, given the unique circumstances, to understand what the record was before Judge Young when he made his decision on summary judgment. As this court has repeatedly reminded litigants, summary judgment is the put up or shut up time in a lawsuit. Ms. Moss failed to put up, as the record shows, and the record that was properly before Judge Young when he made his decision. First, Moss conducted no discovery whatsoever in this case. There was no written discovery, no request for admissions, no affidavits, no depositions taken. Not a deposition of the decision maker, not a deposition of anyone at Ameritech, nor a deposition of anyone else. Not surprisingly, Ameritech filed for summary judgment. Ameritech had 50 separate statements of material fact that from the decision maker and others that were involved in the various incidents that Ms. Moss describes. Ameritech also argued that there was no prima facie case. Ameritech put forth legitimate reasons for its business decision during the downsizing. Ameritech also argued that there was no direct evidence of discrimination. In response, Moss failed to controvert and necessarily deemed admitted every single statement of fact before Judge Young. Everything that went in on the record was Ameritech's evidence, and Moss submitted no admissible evidence. Moss's brief was almost struck in its entirety because it contained no admissible evidence, but simply characterizations of Ms. Moss's testimony, which relied basically on hearsay and speculation and her assumptions. Ms. Moss's brief failed to cite to a single, and this is in response to summary judgment, to a single case related to discrimination of the discrimination context. On reply, Ameritech moved to strike the inadmissible portions of her brief and the unsupported documents that were attached to the brief. Judge Young struck most of the exhibits as inadmissible hearsay, as speculation, conjecture, and self-serving statements not supported by the record. Faced with this decision and with no evidence, Moss tried on two occasions to submit evidence that was not before Judge Young to this court through its designation of record. Judge Young was required again twice to strike those improper designations of the record and to send to this court the record that was supposed to come up on appeal. Notwithstanding that, there are a couple of documents that Mr. Yoakum submitted in his brief to this court that were struck in not once or not twice, but three times by Judge Young in the underlying matter. Judge Young found that Moss failed to raise a prima facie case. There was not a similarly situated person, whether a male or a white person or a younger person or a person who's not disabled, that was treated differently than Ms. Moss. There was no evidence of similarly situated persons, and the Moss brief in the district court never even mentioned McDonnell Douglas or addressed the element of similarly situated. Ameritech advanced three reasons why Ms. Moss was selected for a downsizing. Those three reasons were, one, because of her lack of supervisory experience. The second was because of her lack of experience in the call center environment where she worked. And third, because of her job performance and attendance record. Once Ameritech raised those legitimate business reasons for selecting her for the downsizing, the burden shifted back to Moss to present admissible evidence to show that those reasons were lies. Zero evidence was presented. In fact, the entire argument was ignored in the district court and in the briefings in this court. Those arguments are waived. But it's not surprising that there was no evidence, because the deposition of the decision maker was not taken, or depositions of anybody else. Further, there was no direct evidence of discrimination in this matter. Ms. Moss testified, and I took her deposition, that she never heard, or nobody ever made any remarks to her about her race. There were never any comments made in her presence, and she's not even aware of anybody at Ameritech ever making any discriminatory comments. Never mind by a decision maker at or around the time of the decision that would relate to this employment issue in question. And further, and even though this was never addressed and never raised either in the district court or in this court, there's no evidence of a convincing mosaic of evidence that points directly to discriminatory intent or to the decision in question. Based on the record that was properly before Judge Young, based on the briefs that were submitted in this court, based on what we heard today, I would submit that Judge Young's decision to grant Ameritech's motion for summary judgment is well-founded and should be upheld on appeal. Unless the court has any specific questions, I'll rest on behalf of Ameritech.
I gather not. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Yocum, you have 2 minutes.
Your Honor, my response to that is obvious. Attached to their motion for summary judgment are excerpts from Ms. Moss's deposition, which prove in an unrebutted way that they were guilty of this pattern of discrimination that we discussed in our opening argument. That's not evidence that was discarded. All one has to do is read the exhibits attached to our brief, which are taken from the deposition of Moss taken by the defendant. That's what the district court awarded or ignored. I don't know if, in fact, a district court can read a motion for summary judgment and then make a series of credibility revolutions that are amazing. One is that none of that stuff is true, and two, that any inference that can be made in favor of the defendant will be made, when that's not the law. It's not only that, well, we cited in our brief, there is a recent Supreme Court case, Desert Palms, which discusses the burden of proof and what is necessary and what is unnecessary, and it's a great change. And if you'll notice, and I might have done the same thing, the defendant doesn't cite it, doesn't pay attention to it, and doesn't discuss it because it destroys their case. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Yocum. Thank you, Mr. McCauley. The case will be taken under advisement.